we can sit with God in prayer. We can sit in His Word. And we can be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives, where we truly become more than conquerors, where we truly become victorious in the areas in our life where we've struggled.
Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Four Square Church. It's Sunday, November 9th, 2025. Pastor Jeff is speaking. Today's message is entitled, The Hard Truth of the Gospel. And our text comes to us from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 9. And now, here's Pastor Jeff.
It is so good to be in God's house, isn't it? You know, there's a bunch of empty seats here. You can invite some friends to show them how good it is to be in God's house, because there's nothing like it. We face this world, and there's no way to get around it, right? You got your troubles, you got your trials, you got the things going on that are working for you. You got all these things working against you. From, you know, the political climate that works against you, from your neighbor who hates you, right? From your family member who hates you. I mean, we all have these things that happen in life, and I just can't understand, you know, we are in mourning, right, with you. We are in mourning with you. But at the same time, we don't mourn like the world. We mourn with hope. And I just don't understand how people can walk through this life without the hope of Jesus. And that's what we're going to talk about today. This has been on my heart for a few months now. And I have to be honest, I have not necessarily been so obedient with God and said, okay, I'll preach it. But today's the day. And I said, well, Lord, who are you going to bring? And this is who He brought. So whether you like it or not, we face this world with all of our troubles, and you can face it alone or you can face it with the hope that is Jesus. And whether you like it or not, the Lord had this moment predestined before He created the earth, that this group of people would be here right now, that a group of people online would hear this either live or later in the week or whenever it lands on them. And there are parts of this sermon that might be specifically for others in your mind. But I think the whole thing is for each and every one of us. And so today, we're going to be talking about the gospel. And I've brought this up before in other sermons where I've said, you know, we need to go out and we need to tell people about Jesus. We need to go preach the gospel. And most people look at me with this blank look on your face, right? And so what I've been really mulling over and what I've been really praying about is this idea that we are called to go into the world. And my job, my calling, my commitment to the Lord is to go into the world, but also equip you to go into the world. And so while we get to walk in the beautifulness of the gospel, today we're going to be looking at the hard truth of the gospel. And we have to know this so we can walk this. And we have to walk this so we can do what God expects of us. And so today, I want us to remember something. The gospel is the good news. It's a wonderful thing, the gospel. It's a beautiful thing. It's something we cling to that gives us peace. Now, I'm not talking about the gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's where we learn about Jesus' life. And if you want to know who our God is and what He's done for us, you need to spend time reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Gospels, so you can understand the Gospel and take it to the world. This is what we are called to do in word, in action, and in commitment to God. The Gospel is a beautiful thing. When God created everything, He created it perfectly. And the world will tell you, well, if your God created everything so perfectly and He loves you so much, then why is there evil in this world? If your God is so loving and so caring, then why do bad things happen to good people? You know, bad things happen to good and bad people. The Word of God says that the rain falls on the righteous and the evil the same. We will face these things in life. So you want to go at it alone? Depending in yourself, trusting in yourself, trusting in your own discipline, trusting in your own abilities to make things happen? Trusting in your job and your money and your bank and your government? Trusting in yourself? I mean, I really don't want to know, honestly, okay? The next thing I'm going to say, I don't want to know. But trusting yourself in private moments where nobody can see you, where you are who you really, really, really are? Not who you are at work, not who you are at church, not who you are in public? Do you trust yourself? Do you put faith in yourself? We put faith in the gospel. What God did is God created this perfect world for us. And we rejected him and we rejected his rules. And we told him, no, we're going to do it our way. And that has separated humanity from our Creator. God created a sacrificial system in the Old Testament that we could find a way to get close to him to try and make up for the bad things we've done. But we can't. We have no moral high ground. But God decided long before, knowing that this is what was going to happen with his beautiful creation, who he loves, to send his son to pay the price. What we need to understand with the gospel, that mercy is not getting what we deserve. And justice is getting what we deserve. And our sins are not just thrown into a paper ball and thrown away in the trash like nobody cares, like it never happened. We walk around sometimes like our sins are so gone that we've been blessed and they never happened. But they happened. And God knows that they happened. And our God is just. I want you to imagine it like this, right? God is going to offer us a cure for the sickness in our life, for this deadly disease of sin that has plagued our life. We are poisoned by the bite of the snake in the garden. And the poison of sin runs through our bodies, and we need the antidote. The gospel is that Jesus, God became flesh in Jesus. And he went to the cross, and when his blood shed, we receive the antidote for our sin. Now Jesus stands in the courtroom of God and has taken the punishment for you. Your sins were still paid for. Imagine you're at a restaurant and the waitress hands you the bill and you look around and you're some moron that dines in ditches. And as soon as you say, can I get another refill on coffee? And the waitress walks away and you run out the door and you think, I got my food for free. I got my food for free. Who cares? I didn't pay for it. Well, that waitress had to pay for it out of her own pocket. Your sin is the same. It doesn't just go away. It's not cheap. Somebody still has to pay for that. And Jesus shows up on earth to move amongst his people to pay the price for us. That's the beautiful part of the gospel. Because the beautiful part of the gospel is that God loved you enough to send his son so that we too can have eternal life and be returned to God. That's the beautiful part. And I look around the room and I know most of you pretty well. And I know most of you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I know most of you have been walking with Christ for many years. I know a lot of you have decided that that's the path that you're on. Some of you maybe not. This sermon is for both groups. Don't think you're excluded because you've been walking with Jesus for a while. But the gospel is that God became flesh, that God died on the cross to pay the price, rose again on the third day. Just that part is awesome. But the reason he did it is awesomer. He did it because he loves you. You don't even love yourself, some of you. You look in the mirror and you're disgusted with who you are, with what you do, with everything going on. Can I tell you something? If you have Jesus in your heart and you're having those feelings, that is not the voice of God telling you to be better. That's the voice of the enemy trying to bring you away from God. God has spoken over your life and he has said, I have made you righteous. I have made you pure. I have made you holy by the blood of the Lamb. And you have been returned to me spiritually. And now we need to live this out. And it's a beautiful thing to think that my debt is paid, amen? It is a beautiful thing to know that while I may feel guilt and shame because the enemy throws it on me, when I stand before God, Jesus will say, no, I've already paid the price for this one. What a beautiful peace that we can have in our life because of that. It happened because God loves us. It happened so that we can have peace, and that's the good news. But along with the good news, and this is where it's going to get a little bit tough. Along with the good news comes the hard truths that the gospel brings. And we can't ignore those hard truths. The gospel is good news. But if someone's going to offer you the remedy to your illness, And I'm not trying to be insensitive. We have lost people very recently in our lives. We always are losing people in our lives. And most people are seeking out a medicine, a remedy, a solution, a cure. When it comes to our sinful nature, God offers us the cure. God offers us the remedy. God offers us the antidote for our sickness. But we have to first admit that we're sick. And for some of us in here and for people in the world, it's very difficult. And it's very difficult to admit that you're sick. It's very difficult to admit that you need help. It's very difficult to admit that you need a savior. Because I got this. I've always had this. I've taken care of myself. I work hard. I show up. I get it done. I get paid. I'm on it. Until you're not. And you have to realize that all of those things that you do in this world gain you absolutely nothing in the next. But what God did gains us everything. What God did takes us to eternity. And we're going to be getting into this idea of the gospel today. And of course, all of these points that I'm going to run by you here today could all be broken down into multiple sermons each. We could spend a lifetime studying these things. But somewhere in here, there's something that you need today. All of this I need today. All of this I need every day. And so today we're going to run through these five hard truths of the gospel. Number one, the hard truth of sin. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Since Genesis, we've been separated from God. The sin state that we're in, so to say, is what we're born into, and we cannot escape this fact. I want you to think in your mind of a courtroom, right? Judge Wapner, Judge Judy, I don't care which one you use, right? But get that image into your head. Every single person in the courtroom is guilty. And God's justice demands payment for sin. There is no escaping the judgment that God will hand out in his high court on the day of the Lord. None of us can claim moral perfection. And that's the hard truth of sin. Every single one of us needs a savior. You can reject the savior all you want. It doesn't change the fact that you need him. And today, the hard truth of the gospel on your heart, I'm hoping it leads you to accepting that salvation that Christ offers today because you know you need it. Well, you know, I feel like I'm a good person, Pastor. I feel like I can do this. I can just use the Ten Commandments and walk through that. I don't need Jesus. I don't need your religion. I don't need church. I don't need a community. I don't need to read my Bible. Maybe you should, because the second hard truth today is the hard truth of judgment. Judgment is coming, and judgment starts in the church. It starts with us. Hebrews 9:27 tells us very clearly, just as people are destined to die once, and after that, face judgment. There is no escaping standing in God's courtroom. Remember the judge. When the gavel falls, the judge's word is final. Oh, but that was in civil court. Now I'm going to take it up to the California Supreme Court. Well, judge's gavel falls. Well, I guess that doesn't count either because now I'm going to take it to the federal court. Right? In human standards, we try and work our way around the law and we try and work our way around judgment. We try and look at the rules and say, how can I get around them? And we say, oh, come on, man, don't give me what I deserve. Give me mercy. And God says, when judgment comes, everyone will get what they deserve. Our sins are not erased. Our debt must be paid because God is just. If God does not pass judgment on those who have broke his commandments, God is not just, therefore he's a liar. So he will pass judgment. However, he's made a way for us. The beautiful part of the gospel is that even though the hard truth of judgment is there, the beautiful blessing of forgiveness is there too. Don't delay repentance in your life. Repentance means taking the gospel seriously, turning away from where you've put your faith, turning away from where you've put your effort and your hope. Our hope has to be in Jesus. Our hope has to be in God. Judgment day is certain for everyone. Admit your sins honestly before God so your debt can be paid. If you're walking in Christ, your debt is paid. If Jesus knows you, your debt is paid. If you've surrendered your life to God, your debt is paid. But there are people in your life who are unwilling to stand in that idea of judgment. How can I love a God who's going to destroy everybody? He's God. He can do whatever he wants. But he's also given us a way to return to him. Take your cross and follow him. Because when you understand the hard truth of sin, you know you need a savior. When you understand the hard truth of judgment, you understand that you need to be grateful for your savior. But in order for all of that to take root, you have to understand the third thing, and that's the hard truth of repentance. Acts 3:19. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Another version says, repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out. Repentance is this idea of no longer trusting in what I trusted in before and trusting in God. I'm turning away from who I was and what I did because who I was and what I did was evil. And now I'm putting my focus on doing what is righteous and what God calls me to do. Don't answer me, but think in your heart, where do you put your trust? In who do you put your trust? In what do you put your trust? Is it your money? Is it your job? Is it your dashing good looks? Maybe not, right? We put our trust into so many things. And I am not against these things I'm about to list, okay? But we put our trust there instead of putting it in God, and we need to reset that part of our brain. How many of you put your trust in your money? How many of you put your trust in your government or your political party? How many of you put your trust in your TV? In the news? In your social media feeds? In some TikTok video that told you the Bible was wrong? How many of you are putting your trust wholly in Jesus versus putting it into things that you think you've got? Maybe you put your trust in yourself and following your heart so you'll just feel good. The heart is the most deceitful thing. It will always lead us away from God until we ask God to give us a heart like his, until we surrender in repentance. It means turning away from evil. Turning away from what we've trusted in before and trusting 100% in Jesus. Church, it's a heart issue. This isn't something you can logic and reason yourself into salvation. It is a heart issue. Giving your heart to God is not just us. That was something we say to the kids. You know, I love working with the kids. And I love asking them where Jesus is. And they'll tell you, where's Jesus? He's in my heart. Praise God, he's there. But I think sometimes as adults, we've forgotten that. And we begin to trust in ourselves and not trust in the one who lives in us. It is him. It is Jesus who leads us forward. Luke 13:3, unless you repent, you too will all perish. Acts 3:19 again, repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be washed away. Listen, imagine you're in the desert, right? And you started it out on this journey. And you know where your car's parked. You know it's on the side of the road. You know it's by the big billboard that says Chick-fil-A, next 5 exits or something like that. You know where it's parked. You start walking into the desert. You're going on this journey. But what's going to happen is you're going to get to a point where you're lost. And you have no water, you have no food, you have no shelter, you don't even have a jacket, because it's the desert, it's hot. Yeah, just wait till the sun goes down, it's going to get real cold. At some point, you're going to have to make a decision to turn around and go find safety. If you're looking for safety in this world, there's only one safe space in this world. And it's not on some college campus with teddy bears and coloring books. It's not in your mommy's house. It's not at your abuelitas. The only safe space in this world is in the presence of Jesus. That's it. There is no other safe place. If you want to find safety, run to the arms and the embrace of Jesus Christ and repent from your sin. Turn away from evil and turn to God. Your life will change. Because, church, when we turn to God in this way, we are living out a faith, but not just a practice faith, a genuine faith that doesn't just change the way we think logically. It doesn't just change the way we think because we're so smart. It changes our heart. It's not an intellectual agreement with God that we have. It's not a contract where if he does this and I do this and he does that and then we're all okay. No, he's given this gift freely for us to grab, but we have to repent of our ways and walk with him. And that takes us to the fourth hard truth, and that's the hard truth of discipleship. I'm so tired of people in the church thinking that they can be Christians and be saved and not consider themselves disciples of Christ. If you read your Bible, you would know that's not the way that works. But we live in a society, unfortunately, that has watered down the gospel, that has watered down the word of God, that has cherry-picked verses that make y'all feel good so you give more money so we can buy a bigger building. That's not us. In this church, we preach the word of God, the part that hurts the most, too. And I promise you, if it hurts now, it doesn't. It's nothing compared to eternity separated from God. The hard truth of discipleship. What does it mean to be a disciple of Christ? What does it mean? It means he's the master, he's the teacher, and I'm the student, and I'm supposed to become more like him every single day of my life. Less like me, more like him. And yet people come into church and say, no, I know how to do this. You need to do this my way. You got to be more like me. Oh, okay. So now I'm your disciple. No, I'm a disciple of Jesus, and so are you. You're not here to become copies of Pastor Zoni. You're not here to become copies of me. You're not here to become copies of any of the leadership in this church. We are here to put on the character of Christ. Your discipleship is not an option. You don't get to pick and choose what things Jesus said you're going to follow and not follow. Let's ask our recently retired educator. If your students were to take a test and say, well, I see that you say this is the right answer, but I've decided that in my life this is the right answer. Are they going to pass the test or not? Absolutely not, folks. It doesn't work in a classroom with first, second, and third graders. It's definitely not going to work standing before the Lord. This is the hard truth, folks. Right? I could stand up here and tell you Jesus loves you. Go sin boldly because there's enough grace to cover it. And y'all leave here feeling really good about your life. But someday I'm going to stand before God. And I can't help but preach the truth. Even the hard truth. Some of you don't even know you're lost. Some of you don't even know you're on the wrong path. Some of you have already twisted things because your discipleship is under yourself or it's under a human and not surrender to God completely. We come to Christ, we're adopted into his family. We become his children. Everyone on this earth is made in the image of God, but only those who choose to pick up their cross and follow Jesus are the children of God in his kingdom. But, you know, he's the king. And not just the king, he's the king of kings. Amen? Amen. All right? So if I'm a child of the king of kings, I'm a prince and you're a princess. We are royalty. We need to learn to act like it. Oh, there's the problem, because when we look at royalty, we think of the King of England. Think of King Charles. We think of Queen Elizabeth II. Yeah? Well, let's think about how their kids behave. They're royal because of their blood, not because of their behavior, not because of their action. You're royal because of the blood of God. And the blood of Christ that has come upon you, that has changed your life, is leading you to walk in a way that is legit spiritual heavenly royalty, not earthly royalty where you just have all the money in the world, do whatever the heck you want and not care. You are called to be royalty.
Your discipleship and putting on the character of Christ leads you to walk as princes and princesses of the kingdom of God, as representatives to the world of God's holiness, of God's goodness, of God's love, and of God's mercy. It's not optional. Following Jesus at times can feel like dragging a truck up a mountain on your back. And sometimes it's going to feel really difficult. But if you imagine that struggle, if you imagine that battle, look, anything in life worth doing isn't easy. And that battle, you get to the top of the hill and you realize that was so hard. And then you realize, you know what? I didn't pull that up here. God did. And it is so rewarding to be able to face this world that we live in with all the ups and the downs and the good and the bad, and to see the world around you falling apart and losing their mind because, oh, my guy didn't win in politics. Oh, this didn't pass. Oh, this is so good. Oh, this is so bad. Oh, my favorite movie star, blah, 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 blah. Oh, my favorite movie. In our discipleship, all of that goes away. That's just noise. And we can sit with God in prayer. We can sit in His Word. And we can be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives, where we truly become more than conquerors, where we truly become victorious in the areas in our life where we've struggled. Look, God has spoken over your life. You're perfect. You're righteous. But that doesn't mean you're done. You want to know you're done? When your sister opened her eyes and God said, "Welcome home, good and faithful servant," that's when you know you're done. That's when we're made whole and complete. We prayed for Rosanna and for her mother, and we asked God for a complete healing, and God said, "I got that." Remember, God heals three ways: medically, miraculously, and eternally. And we're all headed to the eternal healing. Hallelujah. We're all headed there. If you make a choice to receive the beautiful part of the gospel, but also understanding the hard truth. Your discipleship, man, if Jesus said, Luke 9:23, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. Not follow your favorite influencer, not follow your favorite politician, not even follow your favorite pastor, but follow Jesus. There's a couple of things we need to understand when it comes to our discipleship. One, you are not an island. Discipleship is something you do with Jesus one-on-one. That is true. Time in prayer, time in fasting, time in His Word, time sitting there just listening for His voice. But discipleship is done in community, where we're together, people who are seeking Him first. We come together. Let me say this. I used to hear growing up, "Show me your friends and I'll show you who you are." How about this? "Show me the community you spend time with and I will show you who you are." "Well, I have to work there." Yeah, but you're a light at that workplace. You're not there to participate. But this is where I have to be, and this is my family. And, "Well, you know how my family is." Yeah, I do, you know, and it's hard. I get it. You know, but our discipleship cannot be done independently as an island by ourselves. We need to walk with others who have been walking with Jesus longer to learn from them. So that when new people come into our life and they begin to walk with Jesus, guess what? We can teach them. That's the way that works. Very Yoda-esque. Pass on what you have learned, right? That is what we are called to do. Be ready to face challenges and to make sacrifices, because you are going to deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow Him. Number five, this is the last one. We first looked at the hard truth of sin, the hard truth of judgment, the hard truth of repentance. And for most of us, I think we're there. We've recognized that. We've made a decision. We're in a place where that hard truth of discipleship is something we got to take on and grab by the horns and start walking through it. But this is the one that hurts the heart, I think, right here. And this is the fifth and the last one, I promise, for today. It's the hard truth of exclusivity. "Come to our church
Everybody's welcome. You see the signs all over the place. Yeah, that's right. Everybody is welcome to receive the transforming power of the Holy Spirit in your life. Not for us to celebrate the wrongs you do. If the Bible says it's a sin, it's a sin. Just because the world around you says, well, I think it's okay. You know, we've been so blessed as we are. We are. Men of Power, thank you. We were so blessed in Men of Power over the last few months as we've had our own district attorney, Chris Ochoa, lead us in the book of Romans. And as a district attorney, obviously he has a doctorate in jurisprudence, he's a lawyer. And he stands before judges and he's the accuser. He plays the role of the accuser. And he has the law on his hands and he says, this is the law. And that defendant over there broke this law, this law, this law, and this law. And that defendant over there says, well, yeah, I didn't know. Whatever they say, right? Whatever their defense is. At the end of the day, when the judge's gavel falls, it ain't personal. But Your Honor, you caught me stealing and you want me to pay a fine for stealing. If you only knew how many other things I stole. What? That's how we stand before God. Oh, God, you know, well, I mean, yeah, you're looking at your book of all the bad things I did, but why don't we open the book of Pastor Zoni and look at his bad things? That's not the way that works. It takes a very special thing. It's called RICO, to be able to bring in multiple people and accuse them all of breaking the same law together. Again, those are human courts. In God's courts, you will stand before the Lord. Well, but, you know, brown power, Black Lives Matter, rainbow people, whatever, right? Like Foursquare, Assembly of God, Victory Out, whatever, right? People have this idea in their head that they're going to walk up to God in a group, right? I'm here to represent the Beverly Boulevard Foursquare Church, and we're all innocent, right? All of us, right? Right? I represent all of us. Church, that's not the way it works. You will individually stand before God. Individually. And either Jesus knows you or he doesn't. That's the hard truth. The church is open to anyone who wants to come in and receive. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Acts 14:12, nor is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven in which we can be saved. You know, if you want to imagine this, right? Let me set it up for you, okay? There's a small gate. And Jesus is that gate. And you need to go through that gate because you want eternity. You want heaven. You want paradise. You want to be reunited with God. We live in a world right now where people are going to tell you, well, I think there's all kinds of ways to God. There are so many different roads that will lead us to God. It doesn't have to be Jesus. How come you guys are the only way? This is the hard truth of exclusivity, right? Let me put it to you this way. You got your airplane ticket, and you get to the airport, and you're trying to get to Hawaii. Yeah, John. To suffer for Jesus. And the screen says, now boarding at gate 7. And you walk up to some person there and said, where's gate 7? Oh, it's way down there and around the other end. Okay, cool. I'm going to Hawaii. See, here's my ticket. And I want to take gate 1 because I'm right next to it. And the people working for the airlines will look at you like, what are you, crazy? The gate 1 plane is going to the North Pole. You want to go to Hawaii? Go to gate 7. Well, some guy on TikTok told me that I could go through gate 1. My lack of understanding my Bible or reading my Bible or knowing what it says has me thinking that I can get to Hawaii even if I go through gate 1. And the devil and the world are more than glad to say, sure, go ahead, gate 1. All the way to Hawaii, all the way to paradise. You get on that plane in gate 1, you get off the plane, and where are you? Well, you're in sandals and board shorts and a tank top, and it's freezing outside because you're in the North Pole, and you're like, how did I get here? It's because you didn't listen. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. Well, okay. Well, what if I go to gate 2? Gate 7. What if I go to gate 3? Gate 7, right? This is what it's like evangelizing with people these days, because they want to reject God's plan for our life. But God's plan has this level of exclusivity. That's the hard truth of it. No one comes to the Father but through me. You cannot get on the plane on gate 1 and hope to catch a connecting flight and make your way back, because to get on gate 1, it costs more money, and that money was your soul. And once you get on that plane and that plane flies away, if you're not getting on the plane at gate 7, you will not land in paradise. And anything that's not paradise might as well be hell. Because at the end of this life, we will stand before God to be judged. And there are two lines. One that leads to eternal redemption in the presence of God in paradise. I have people ask me all the time, do you think they look down on us? Do you think my dearly departed loved one misses me? Well, the hard truth of that one is, no, they don't. They're with Jesus. They have absolutely everything they need. They do not miss us at all. It's us who miss them. And when we mourn in hope, knowing that that's where they are, we should be running to gate 7. And we should be grabbing everybody we can along the way to take them with us. Because while the gospel is exclusive to those who receive it and say, Lord, be my Savior, I believe in my heart, I confess with my mouth that you are Lord, I know that I am saved, how dare we not scream and yell at the people in our lives to not come with us? It's exclusive because you have to choose. But it's all inclusive because anyone can choose. There are people in our lives, and they don't know Jesus. And the hard truth of those people in our life that don't know Jesus is that God's plan is that you are in their life so that they can know Jesus. Amen. I have been overwhelmed preparing, because I know you all so well, and I know people in your lives who need the Lord, and I know you're not telling them about him. There are people in your lives who think, I don't need the community, I don't need a church, I just, you know, I said the sinner's prayer, I'm good. And I'm so afraid for your eternity. Your discipleship leads you to understanding that you have been commissioned by God to go into the world and make disciples of all nations. That is your job. That is our job. There are people in your lives who are on their way to hell, and I'm afraid that you don't give a rat's rear end about them, because you're unwilling to share with them because you're afraid of what? They won't like you? Man, I would rather you hate me here and then run into you in heaven and for you to be like, hey, I hated you down there, but thank you for saying that, because look where we are. Than to sit up there and think everything's okay because I'm here. You know, this might be a little bit of a rough phrase, but, you know, to say the hell with them. They've made their choice. It's not a figure of speech. That's a literal judgment on your part, casting them into the lake of fire, denying them the peace that you have because of the beauty of the gospel. But that peace comes with hard truths. Church, we're about to enter the holiday season. And you need to understand that while the gospel does confront us with sin and judgment and repentance and discipleship and exclusivity,
The gospel is also a mirror for us. It shows us our true condition. But when we begin to live out the gospel, it's also like a light that shines out of us. Like a lighthouse that protects ships that sail up and down the coast. That light is shining the way to salvation for the world around you. I know the truth is hard, but God's grace is greater. So I want to ask you today to respond to the gospel. Maybe it's the first time you're going to say, you know what? I'm not messing around with anything but gate 7. Maybe it's, you know what? I got to get into something where I can learn more about how to be a disciple of Christ because that's who I am. Maybe it's about the people in your life. As we enter the holiday season and we have to begin seeing some of those people that, you know, we love because we're supposed to, right? That we have to kind of break bread with every now and then, even though we don't want to, you know, but hey, there they are. You know, there's my weirdo drunk second cousin who always making a fool of himself type thing. You know, like we're going to be in those environments coming up. What a beautiful opportunity to tell them. You're a lost coin.
What?
You have value to your owner and you just don't know it. Your owner is Jesus. Your owner is God. You're a lost sheep. You ran away. You're a prodigal son. You ran away. It's time to receive them back and love them and to give them that same grace that God has given us. It's not about how good they are. It's not about how nice they were to you. And it's definitely not about how good you are or how nice you are to others. It's about the gospel. The gospel saves. But the hard truth is that we have to live it out. We can't just walk around like it doesn't matter. Church, it matters. Now remember, everything I'm asking you to do, to start telling the people in your life about Jesus, to start getting things going in the right way, to start walking in a discipleship that allows you to fulfill that great commission that Jesus gave us in Matthew to go and make disciples, you have to understand that you're not earning your salvation in that. You're living it out. Because it's Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For by grace are we saved through faith, not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. We don't do these things that we do to puff out our chest and say, look at me. We do these things that we do and we live out this gospel in our lives so that others may know Jesus as well. How many of you have peace this morning in your salvation? How many of you have peace knowing that God paid the price? How many of you know that Jesus is with you today? How many of you know someone in your life who needs Jesus as well? Lord, my prayer today, Father, as we come before you, Lord, is that you are putting names and faces in the hearts of everyone here so that we can walk with you, Lord. We can put on your character. We can understand these hard truths, Lord, but we are still victorious and we are still more than conquerors because of you. Help us to be bold and to be courageous, Lord, and to take your gospel to the world around us. Help us to use it as the mirror so that we can see who we are, Lord. Help us to use your word so we can see who you say we are. And help us to be bold enough to share who you are with others so that they too can be part of your exclusive club. Oh, Father, we thank you. Because not only are you working in the hearts of people in here right now, Lord, but you're preparing the hearts of people in here for those who aren't here. For our neighbors, our coworkers, the people who live in our communities and our neighborhoods, and all of those people we get to interact with every day, Lord, help us to be the light that leads them to you. Right now, with every head bowed, if there's anybody in here who either needs to recommit themselves to walking through these hard truths. I just want you to say, God, in your heart, say it to the Lord, Lord, now's the time. If by some chance you're in here and you've never given your heart to God, or maybe you've been on that bubble, right? One foot in, one foot out, not sure how to walk, not sure what to do. Let today be the day that the gospel gets imprinted on your heart and you say, Lord, here I am. Lord, for those making a decision to follow you, Lord, we ask that you step into their heart, Lord, and you make yourself real in their lives. Lord, the work you did was for each and every one of us, and we thank you and we praise you. Lord, we are not worthy of this gift, yet you saw fit to give it freely. For those of us that have received it, Lord, help us to grow in it. And for those who are receiving it today, Lord, we know all of heaven is rejoicing for the one sinner who repents. Lord, we face the hard truths of this gospel, clinging to the victory that you give us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
So, five things. Do you remember the five things? What's the first one, Jeff?
The hard truth of sin.
The hard truth of sin. What's the second one?
The hard truth of judgment.
Judgment. Hard truth there. What's the third one?
Repentance.
What?
Repentance. The hard truth of repentance.
Repentance. Repentance. What's number four?
Hard truth of discipleship.
Discipleship. What's number five? There you go. You got it. You know, it's the Spirit of God that works in your life. And it's almost like you're on your own. And it's your own responsibility to respond to the gospel. And God is a faithful God who works in our lives. And as we respond to him, he touches us. Will you stand with me, please? Thank you. Amen. Good message. Amen. All right. Good message. Anyway, so today is the day that the Lord has made. And we're going to rejoice and be happy in it. Thank you for the moving of your Holy Spirit in our lives. I thank you, Lord, for celebrating today years of accomplishments for Candace. We pray, Lord, that you would minister to each one of us, and we will give you all the glory and all the praise. For we pray and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you inside. Amen.
We're so glad you're able to join us today. If you would like to watch the full service with the worship time included, you can check out our Facebook page. For more information about our church, go to our website at www.bbfoursquare.org. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless. See you next week.